The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. We're back for the third day in a row. I'm your host, Strigger. He is Dylan. We're the Eastern Lariat, and we're here for our New Year Dash post show. Isn't that right, Dylan?
That's right, Strigger. 3 days in a row. This is the climactic angle of Wrestle Kingdom weekend, pretty much. Having the first two shows, we talked about Wrestle Kingdom, and now this year, we're going to... Once again, because usually every year, it's always after the follow-up.
Yes.
In terms of New Year Dash, but this year...
This is our usual show, usually.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting to see how this goes, because we talked about really all of the important stuff last night, but mm-hmm. We've got some stuff for the future, some stuff planned. I think it'll be a good show, and let's see how it goes. We have a retirement to talk about, a main event angle, and what happened on the big season debut. A lot of people kind of frame New Year Dash as the season debut of New Japan after the season finale of Wrestle Kingdom in a lot
exactly.
of ways.
So, yes, so
let's see how it
New Year Dash obviously is always a mystery card. They announce the card at the beginning of the show. Unlike Pro Wrestling Noah, they didn't announce the card at all. They just had a show and played some music, and then they had the matches. That happened yesterday on January 5 in Kirkenhall, and we're going to talk about that quickly before we go to New Year Dash. We've both seen the show now. Dylan, yep. What's your overall opinion on Noah's attempt of a mystery show like New Year Dash?
Well, I thought that the tag match at the main event was really the big story. First of all, it was a great match. It was probably the best on any show, I think. Probably, honestly, like you could put this up to most of the matches on Wrestle Kingdom, and I think that tag match is right up there.
Yes, that would hold up absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of that, that was good. There was nothing terrible on the show or anything bad. You had a funny angle with Michael Elgin and Masao Inoue.
That was really funny.
Yeah, an 8-second match, pretty much. So perfect for Inoue.
And it only went 8 seconds because Inoue hesitated to attack Elgin. Could have been ended in like 5 seconds too.
Listen, he's smart. He extended his match time right there. He held off a little longer.
Making so like, big money here in 8 seconds.
Yeah, that's true. They put over they put over a lot of the main guys, Kongo, Sugira Gun, Kaito got a win on the show over Dr. Magno Jr. You know, so they put over a lot of the people they're pushing right now. Sugira Gun, like they looked really strong, I thought, in their match, Sugira, Sakuraba, and Hideki. And I liked that match too for what mm-hmm. it was.
That was a good match. Yeah, for what it was a good match.
Yeah, I thought Minoru Tanaka looked great. He's somebody that you always want to see more of when you watch these Noah shows. But the main purpose of this show, I thought Kaito and Dr. Minor Jr. was okay. Like I said, it was a decent little match to put over, give Kaito a little bit of a win coming off the title loss. But I do think I will say this about him, I think he's lost something now that he's lost the title. We're only one night in, but it'll be interesting to see if he can get back what he had as champion. Because on his own, now it's like he's really moved back. I think maybe doing something, and hopefully they do this, because after the main event they would have a great opportunity for an amazing match if they did this. I think Kaito would be better served to be in a tag team of some sort right now and do something important, but we'll see what they do. Like I said, it's only one night in, so you can't go that far. The main purpose of this show, though, more than any of the matches, was to bring in new people, or at least different people. I don't think, outside of like one or two people, everyone has wrestled in Noah before.
Yeah.
The people they brought in. Well, first off, you had the team of Akitoshi Saito, and he brought in Shiro Koshinaka, first of all. He's wrestled in Noah before. And Akira.
Yes. Heise Ishingun.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Akira. This is a guy who started out very early into his career, late 80s, early 90s wrestler. He stuck around New Japan. He was more of a New Japan wrestler for a long time.
He never wrestled for Noah before.
Yeah, exactly. So a new person, 51 years old, coming into Noah here. Thankfully, that team lost. That was just to put over Kongo pretty much. So that was nice. I was afraid they lose, to be honest with you.
You always have to be afraid when Kongo is in the ring.
Yeah, exactly. I was afraid they'd lose, but they didn't. And, you know, Akira Nogami, he was pretty good in his prime, but I don't think a difference maker by any means in Noah. And the big name, though, the biggest name on the show was the special edition of a masked man with Nosawa Rongai, Dick Togo. Is it Noah? No?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Dick Togo nowadays is affiliated with Michinoku Pro Wrestling. I think he's running the training there too. So he's wrestling out of there. He has been in Noah very briefly, 10 years ago actually, in the Junior Heavyweight Tag League 2010. He teamed with Yasu Urano back then when both of these guys were in a Dramatic Dream Team. And back then, they, for example, faced the tag team of Atsushi Kotoge and Daisuke Harada and ended up with 4 points in the Junior League. And then following up that Junior Tag League a couple of days later on October 30, 2010, Dick Togo and the Great Sasuke beat the team of Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Genba Hirayanagi in Kuroken Hall. So a brief history with Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yeah, that's right. And the way that they brought him in was signing with Nosawa. And it looks like he's going to be in the tournament, the Junior League. And that's pretty cool. I think Dick Togo, every time you see him, you know, Michinoku Pro doesn't make air all that much. But when you see him either there or in other places where he's wrestled in the past few years, he's always looked great. And in his prime, he was like one of the best junior heavyweight wrestlers to me in the world. He has a really interesting story, too. He traveled to like Vietnam.
Yes.
For a long time.
He traveled the world, actually. He was in South America for a couple of months, too. Wrestled in Europe once. I once told the story that he wrestled Zack Sabre here in Germany, where I think he either bruised or broke one of his ribs, and the match couldn't really continue. And he promised to come back, and he did. And he had a match in WXW then again, because he couldn't really wrestle in his first match. That was very, very cool of Dick Togo.
Yeah. See, based in Vietnam and going around the world, he has a real crazy story. He did retire at one point, but, you know, retirements in wrestling, like, you know, it is what it is, pretty much. But now he's back and in Pro Wrestling Noah with Nosawa.
Yeah, listen, I hope Yushin Thunder Guy is going to break the mold and just keep it as it is.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, so you mentioned Dick Togo is going to be in the Junior League. He is the X that was announced for Block B, so he will be facing Hao, the former Yuki Sato, Tadasuke, and Kotaro Suzuki in his block. So these matches should be very, very interesting.
And, yeah, Kotaro, that could be a great match.
Yes, the Kotaro Suzuki match is going to happen on January 25 in Iden Arena's Osaka number 2, so that should definitely make air.
Awesome. Like I said, it's good to see him. Like I said, of all the people they brought in, him or the person in the main event was probably the one I'm most excited about. You also had, we got to talk about him, a new member of Rattels.
And Could you imagine?
Yeah. I mean, who better than this man? Who fits the mold of Rattels more than Keiji Muto? They did this angle where Stinger, they teamed up with Doug Williams. And they were like, it was going to be a 4-5 match, but then Keiji Muto came out. His music hit, the crowd all reacted. And
The crowd reaction was very interesting to begin with, because like they cut to the crowd, and there were people that were ecstatic about the music playing. Others had a happy face about the music playing. And I tweeted that out. Others were pretty confused about what happened because apparently they didn't know the music. So you could approach this and say, why don't they know Keiji Muto's music? Or you could approach this the other way around and say, apparently Pro Wrestling Noah in the last 1 or 2 years has been making new fans, much like New Japan Pro Wrestling has been making new fans that aren't necessarily pro wrestling fans, but that are fans of the promotion itself. And that should be a good sign, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's historically how it's been in Japan. Promotions get more, you know, like true hardcore fans aren't as prevalent as in the West, where, you know, it's like me and you, we just kind of watch a little bit of everything. I watch everything, pretty much, but, you know, most people kind of pick and choose. So maybe New Japan has the biggest fan base, I'd say, a lot of on the West, but if you're watching anything besides New Japan, you usually don't stick to, like, I only watch All Japan, but not, like, you know, Noah or something like that. But in Japan, it would be much more prevalent. So Muto, his music isn't as definitive as a lot of the legends, like, in all honesty. And anyway, so I think that might have had something to do with it, to be honest. So Muto, it remains to be seen. The people who knew it, who recognized it, went nuts for it, and he got a great reaction overall. But either way, no matter what the reaction is, I just don't see Muto being that much of a difference maker in 2020. And Noah, like, he's not a Noah guy. He wrestled with him a little bit the last few months.
Yeah.
But damn, you know, like, he's, you know, he's, I don't think that he made that much of a difference. If they're thinking that he, you know, because they did some big shows that he was on, and they got good numbers and all that. But I really don't think he was that much of a person that got that much credit, but maybe he is. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I would like to talk to more people who maybe live in Japan or in that crowd that think he deserves a lot of credit or anything like that. But I just don't know, and I don't know where he fits in. I definitely don't know where he fits in with Ratels at all.
That
so.
Was a weird thing to do. I don't know.
I agree.
The match was pretty fun. They had some nice interactions, of course. Building off of the Rattles versus Stinger feud. Yohei tried to do a Shining Wizard and failed miserably. That was funny. Yeah. Except for that, 18 minutes was a little long for this kind of a match, but yeah, that's fine.
It just seems like he's in Rattles because, like, they like him, like, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it, no thought to, you know, logic.
And because Nosawa Ronga is a big mark of his.
Yeah, that's why he's in the company in the first place. But he's with Ratels because it's like Ratels is like, hey, yeah, we're big fans of this guy. He inspired us. Put him with us.
Yeah, you know, about the entire show, when we talked about this a couple of episodes back, I said that they pretty much have to do something big on a mystery show like this. And they ended up doing nothing of sorts. It was just a mystery show with their roster and some guests on it. So, yeah, overall, I think for the live fan, I think W.H. Park was in attendance. He said that it was a great show. I think for a live viewing, the show was really, really cool to see. Just on tape, it was mostly an okay show. And as you said, the outstanding match, obviously the tag team title match with Masaaki Mochizuki and Naomi Chimaru Fuji taking the GHE tag team title. And apparently they are taking this belt, or the belts, to Dragon Gate as well, which goes to show that these promotions in 2020 are apparently working together.
Yeah, Mara Fuji was on their show last month too.
Exactly.
The Dragon Gate show against Ishikawa. So, like, I think that's a great addition. If Mochizuki's going to be wrestling in Noah more, mm-hmm, like, I'm 100% for this. I thought you did a really strong job in the tournament, the N1. So these guys as a team, the thing is, they were building them more as a rivalry. Like, they were going to have a match, but now they're a tag team, pretty much. So I thought that was a kind of interesting. Obviously, to be honest, the only thing that hurt this match for me is that I knew that Axis was going to lose because Go wasn't going to be double champion.
Yes. Like, you know. The finish of this match was extremely well done. When you think about that, Katsuki Nakajima is going to challenge Daiki Inaba for the Wrestle 1 Championship on January 12th. Of course, Nakajima had to be the one to be pinned in this match, but at the same time had to be kept strong for his title challenge against Inaba. And they did this very well when basically Nakajima had Mochizuki up to hit him with a vertical spike, and Go was pretty sure that that would be the finish for Axis, and was already looking to the outside and to keep Maro Fuji out of the ring. And then Mochizuki just rolled up Nakajima for the quick flash pin. So,
that
very
really
good
cool
finish.
Yeah, that was somewhat reminiscent of Maro Fuji and Kenta's famous finish against the Briscoe brothers.
Yes.
But Yeah, when Marufuji countered the Doomsday Device into a Spanish Fly for the
that
pin.
That was awesome.
Yeah, this wasn't as obviously stylistically like impressive, but the spirit of it was the same. Like, Go thought they were going to win, so he turned around, and it was a really cool moment, I thought. Like, really great finish. The whole match, I thought, was really awesome, to be honest. One of Marufuji's best in a while, and I like that we talked about it for a while with Noah. What's up with Marufuji? They've really taken him down a peg. But now he's got a new gimmick of wanting to travel all the different promotions and starting a faction with people outside the company. That's great.
He is now in a tag team with someone from a junior heavyweight promotion.
Yeah, like totally. And he not only mentioned Dragon Gate, he mentioned other promotions too, like DDT. He wanted all outside Noah guys.
Yeah, he's going to be DDT. He appeared on the January 3 Kurikan All Show.
Yeah, see? Okay, but Marufuji still could wrestle in Wrestle 1. And have all these different promotions. And look, this is what I said on the Big Sumo Hall show. I was trying to say my whole purpose of all this was that if I were in these other companies, you know, like Wrestle 1 or anything like that, I would be fighting hand over fist to try and get somebody on that Sumo Hall show if I could to kind of work together with them. And it didn't really play out that way, unfortunately, because most of the outsiders were just, you know, just outsiders, like, you know, like Sakuraba and stuff that aren't in Noah, but they're not affiliated with the company either. And I think that they should have tried, I don't know how this would have worked with the politics behind it, but I would have tried harder to get somebody on if I were Dragon Gate, Wrestle 1, and all these places, because it was such a big and important show. But now they're working together. Mochizuki and Marufuji as a team, I think is awesome. Like, I think they're going to be a great team to lead this division, a great successor to Axis, who I think it was going to be hard to follow because they were such a strong team, but now with this Mochizuki and Marufuji team, I think, you know, like, they could totally do it. And I love the gimmick of Marufuji. It didn't really quite, like I said, I still don't know about some of the stuff last year, but ultimately with this new storyline, I think they could really make a golden, you know, a golden storyline out of all this. So I'm really interested to see what he does specifically, not just Noah, going forward. I think that could be something really great. And Go as champion, I like his new attire. I will give him that. The coat and the he's got long tights now. Which
you
I
know
was interesting.
What I thought was funny about this new attire is that I think part of the reason that you are questioning Kaito's role now a little bit is that Kaito's deal all along was he's the successor to Misawa and he's wearing the green colors, and now here we have Go Shiozaki wearing green and being in the lineage of Misawa when he originally was in the lineage of Kenta Kobashi.
Yeah, he's supposed to be Kobashi's. Like,
yes.
Not Misawa. So, yeah, that's interesting. I think it's a cool look, but it is kind of like, hey, I'm the champion now, so let me steal all your stuff.
Like, yes, I'm green now. I'm the Green Ranger.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like he is the Green Ranger at the moment, but Go, I don't know. I'm still skeptical of him as champion, to be honest. But we'll see where it goes and who their first challenger is for the title. Maybe they set something up now with Axis, and something I'm afraid will happen is that they disband the team because now they have something where Nakajima could kind of turn on him. It's like, hey, you left me hanging, that type of deal. But I hope they don't. I hope they keep Axis together forward, even when Go is champion.
No, that should definitely be a thing because Axis, they are such a big deal to Noah fans, such an important part of the company, such a popular act as well. So them breaking up wouldn't be a good idea.
Who's the first challenger, you think, for Go going forward?
For Go? See, that's interesting. Let me look at the January 4 Kurikan card, what they did there. So Kaito won the singles match against Dr. Wagner Jr., but that couldn't... Dr. Wagner Jr., sorry. But that can't really be the one. Yeah, it's... Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, Michael Elgin, sure.
I think so.
He beat Nakajima, then squashed Masao Inoue, and if that doesn't scream title challenge, what does it?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it'll be Go and Elgin at the next show. And Elgin, hey, he did a big house with Big Japan when he made a vid, so I think that we're going to see... That's a good way to start off for Go, because it gives somebody that... I can bring in different fans, you know, somebody that knows him from New Japan and all these other places. I think that'll be a good... That was, like, really smart booking, actually, to have Go's first title defense be against Elgin. So, I like that. I like that direction. The match should be hard-hitting, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the interactions between Goshi Ozaki and Maro Fuji in this match were so hard-hitting as well. And I also liked Mochizuki and Nakajima going on with the kicks. So this had pretty good chemistry overall, this match.
Oh, that was a great match. I thought that was like an awesome tag match. Like I said at the start, probably one of the best matches of the weekend. It's going to be interesting how all this plays out, because I've had some time to sleep on Wrestle Kingdom, both of the shows, and this match, and I think it'll be interesting how, when this is all said and done, how things play out. I don't think this one will be remembered, unfortunately, like the Wrestle Kingdom matches, but I think as a match itself, right up there with any of the top three or four matches of Wrestle Kingdom.
So then, as you already talked about New Japan Pro Wrestling, let us turn our attention to them. They had their New Year Dash show in an sold-out Ota Watt Gymnasium, 4,078 fans. This is a weekend of incredible business for New Japan Pro Wrestling. They had like 74,000 fans on hand for all three shows. That's just incredible. And as we said yesterday, from the business side, big success gives them all the reasons to do that again next year, right?
Yeah, I that's why I was really surprised why they, on the video, they didn't really say anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was something that would be announced, a big announcement of some sort.
Yeah, they did announce that last year at the Tokyo Dome, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we were all surprised by it, but, it was a great thing to do, and ultimately from a business perspective.
Maybe they were just waiting how this would all unfold. They could have easily done 25,000 each for both shows, and that wouldn't have been a big success. So I guess waiting was the best idea here. But now they maybe should be thinking from a business side, we should do this again.
Yeah, I think they will. They're like you just said, there's really no reason not to, unless they do have a fear about it being on Monday, the second day now, and all that. If they're afraid of that, they might change their mind, because this was a weekend show. But I've always said that I don't think that matters that much.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, too.
Yeah, but I don't know what they think is the problem.
I don't think they even think about this. I think this is more of a talking point of foreign fans.
And I completely agree with you. I've always said that. If they are somehow afraid of that, that's the only thing I can think of stopping them. Because, I think it's a little disappointing that they had so many less fans for the second show. I don't think there's really any nice way to say it.
Yeah.
But still a successful show. Like we said, it's not the end of the world, or anything like that. 30,000 fans is still a really good attendance for Wrestle Kingdom. And I think that they should think about how... And another thing is that, because you can't go back to the tournament now, the titles are together, you'd have to do something else to sell both of those shows.
Yeah, definitely.
At that point, too, so we don't really know what that would even be, and I don't think they. I think there's a very likely chance that they knew that this was going to happen when they announced these two dome shows, that they had this double title stuff in mind. And what would they do next year that could replicate it? Because you can't do the tournament now, unless your idea is, we're going to also merge these two titles and the Never title into a tournament. It's going to be a new triple crown for New Japan. All Japan did it, and they don't even have three belts anymore. So damn it, we're going to have the real triple crown.
Dylan, to be quite honest, right now I think that if they do this the right way this year, a match between Hiromu Takahashi and Will Ospreay could main event a Wrestle Kingdom show.
They have a year to get to that. The reaction was good. You won't have Hiromu coming back next year. And
sure.
Yeah, so it's going to be tough. To be honest, that'll be tough to go for a Tokyo Dome. Ultimately, though, I think in a perfect world that could happen. Their history of the juniors tells me that.
Oh yeah, that is definitely correct. But as I said, they have a year to get there, and we'll see. Maybe they will break up the double title again. We don't know that. Maybe Tetsuya Naito still holds a grudge towards the IC title and throws it in the trash sometime in the future. We don't know.
Let's talk about that for a second, because we never really talked about that after the last show. How are they going to handle this double title thing? Because like you said, yes, they could split it up. First of all, I think if something like that were to happen, they might as well just not even bring the title back. It would be so devalued at that point. And it was already not as much as it
remember
was.
Remember when back in the day, they first merged the IWGP Heavyweight title and the U30 title? And they just dropped the U30 title, and then they also merged the IWGP Heavyweight title with the NWF Heavyweight title, and they also dropped the NWF Championship. So it only was the IWGP Heavyweight title, and that's really what it should be all about, in my opinion. And that was my opinion all along with these new heavyweight belts that they brought in a couple of years ago. So one belt on top is the way to go. Or would be the way to go if your business model would be different. And if your business model wasn't, we split all our big shows into two. So, that is the question. If they bring back the IC title at some point down the line, I can definitely see that they would be doing that.
I just think that the NEVER title is going to take that role for the moment anyway.
For the moment, yeah.
Yeah, who knows how successful it'll be, but I think that's where it will be, and I personally would much rather they just drop the title. Like, it's nothing personal against the IC or NEVER title. Either one of them could go away. I just think there are too many titles.
It's still the U.S. title, but if you have programs like Minoru Suzuki against John Moxley, you can easily headline with the U.S. title as well.
That's true. Like I said, Moxley, he's a strong champion for sure right now. They might, maybe that's something that they have in mind for this year in general, trying to build that title up a little bit and give that a bit of a push with the American excursion, the brand split, whatever you want to call it, the Japan-America. Now that they have that, maybe they're going to try and build up this U.S. title to be a major title in its own way, and that they think that, hey, we can't have the IC and U.S. title. It's kind of redundant. So, let's do it. And we'll see. Like I said, there's so many questions left unanswered, but I think the best idea, ultimately, they should not split up the titles and have the IC title floating back around. That shouldn't happen for at least a year, in my opinion. Like, maybe you could do that on New Year's Dash next year, the title's back for whatever reason. But if Naito just gives up the title, just don't ever bring it back because it's not worth it.
Yeah, so it's definitely not like the Triple Crown, that there are championships unified under one title or one championship name. It's still, at this point, I think the IWGP Heavyweight / IWGP IC title.
Well, we're one day in, so there's still plenty of time for them to work this out. Maybe they haven't entirely figured this out either. Yeah, like this part. It's like, we have the double title in mind, but now what?
I'm pretty sure they have that figured out already.
Well, we'll see. Like, right now, they haven't made any announcements of it. To me, that should have been said from the beginning.
Yeah, so we're recording this exactly on the day of New Year Dash, so with card announcements still coming, we can only speculate about this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe by the time this airs later today or tomorrow or whatever, they'll already say that the IC title's done, or the IC title's going to be here forever, and he has to defend them twice on each show.
They should do a video package with Naito just throws it in the trash.
I'm fine with that if they don't. like I said, I don't like all these titles. That's a major issue with, I think, both of us for New Japan, is there are just too many titles. And the problem is they're all redundant. They don't really mean more than the other. Like, the NEVER title is not worse than the IC title, really. Other than the IC title was in the tournament. But it's not that much of a difference. And the NEVER title is not even that much different from the US title. So what's the point of all these damn titles? we don't know.
There is no point. There's really nothing that really stands out from each belt. But Dylan, let us go to New Year Dash. It started out with the retirement ceremony of one Yushin Thunder Liger. They played the same video that they uploaded on YouTube just yesterday. Very touching scenes in that video already, but the scenes that followed this were just, I don't know how to correctly phrase that, because wholesome doesn't really fit, because it was more than that. It was so heart filling. I don't know, is that a word, heart filling? I don't know. I just made that up.
Sure.
I just made a word up to classify Yushin Tanaka's retirement ceremony. To see all of these guys coming out and having their moment with Yushin Tanaka was interesting, that they grouped everybody in their stable and they came out together. Like, for example, Chaos taking group selfie with Yushin Liger.
Yeah.
First retirement in history where someone takes a selfie with someone else? I don't know.
Maybe the
definitely last. Seemed very new. You know, then all the groups that are face or the borderline of being face came out. Glad that they didn't have the Suzuki-gun or Bullet Club guys out, and I'm glad that they didn't do anything similar to last night where Kenta interrupted. But I wouldn't put it past them, to be quite honest. But definitely good that they didn't do it. Liger's wife and his son came into the ring, and that's, I guess, where everybody was on the verge of tears or crying, because Tanahashi ringside was too. So yeah. That was very cool. I would have loved if some of the guys that he had in his retirement eight-man match on the first day of Wrestle Kingdom had come out too to present flowers to him, or someone from his past, you know, like, I don't know, the great Sasuke, Kanemoto, Otani, Fujinami, Ultimo Dragon, some of these guys. That would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been. That would have been the cherry on top, so to speak. I'm glad they didn't do an angle, like you said. I think that would have been really just silly, to be honest, more than anything. And the ceremony itself totally made up for, I think, the lackluster presentation of the last couple of nights. I think this is what people's going to remember, to be honest, more so than the match itself. So, you know, it is what it is. I think it still could have been done a lot better, but the ceremony was great. You had the family there. Even Inoki was on the video.
That,
he sent the message.
That was an extreme surprise to me.
Listen, Inoki loves Liger. Yes. that was very surprising that they would put that on there. But I'm kind of glad. As insane as he is, and as much as I dislike a lot of his managerial decisions.
Look, they didn't give him a live mic, so that's good.
Yes, exactly. And Liger was a huge, like, guy for him. You know, like, Liger was a big deal for his run. So I think it's good, and I think that meant something to Liger, too. That, you know, the big guy, one of the most famous people in wrestling in history, and your boss for many, many years, still felt so strongly about you that he would go to this company that there are so many obstacles, let's just say, between Inoki and New Japan right now. And you still got that. I think it meant something to Liger. And that's the most important thing, more than any other politics or anything like that. And it was just a really nice thing, to be honest with you. It was a great start to the show. And I think that's what this show is going to be remembered by more than anything else, because there wasn't anything major in terms of an angle on the show or anything like that. I kind of think those days are over for a New Year Dash in general. Hmm. Because last year, like, we didn't really have anything. And this year, we didn't have anything. The main things happened on Wrestle Kingdom, and New Year Dash is like, you know, it's just another show, to be honest.
You know, I'm kind of positive about how the show has developed, because at some point there would be just no way to top what you did last year, because people expect all these kind of angles from New Year Dash, and the last 2 years, as you said, they didn't happen. In years past, we had these giant turns and comebacks and stuff, but eventually there is nothing that you can do to outdo yourself in the year after, you know.
Yeah, and I don't mind it. It's not a criticism. The matches were good.
Sure.
I just think a lot of people anticipated something happening, and I think those days are over.
Yeah, that's totally understandable, but I think now that they've done this 2 years in a row, the expectations for next year won't be as high.
We'll see. Like I said, the fans have a long memory sometimes. Like, sure. The fans are a little underrated when it comes to what they remember. I think a lot of companies, not just New Japan, but I think a lot of companies kind of underrate the fans. In that way. So we'll see how it goes, because here all the speculation was, you know, Sonata was going to turn in the main event, and obviously that didn't happen. But
they played with that.
They kind of, like I said,
not really obvious, but they kind of played with that.
Yeah, like I said, I we'll see where they go from here. But that, regardless, you know, maybe they did some things here and there, some subtle things, maybe. Mm. And I think that's definitely a possibility for later in the year, that something like that could happen. It sucks for Evil, but, you know, Sonata, he's clearly one of their top projects, and it was obvious coming from the main event. But let's just keep for the show. We can move to the main event whenever you want.
Alrighty. Yeah, so the show opened up with the Young Lions from the LA Dojo and the Tokyo Dojo. Carl Fredericks, Clark Connors, and Alex Kovalin beat Yota Tsuji, Yuai Onmura, and Toa Henare, which is the big story here, that the one that should be further up on the card didn't get the victory against the Young Lions, but Carl Fredericks did. He submitted Yuai Onmura, and I think that's quite telling, because I think Carl Fredericks would be one of the guys that they build up throughout the year.
Henare has no future in New Japan outside of where he's at. Like, that's all this tells me. And Fredericks is a great star. No disrespect to him. But Henare's not moving up.
I would like to see the year play out, but if they don't do anything this year, that is pretty telling.
I think he's in a spot where he's going to be, which is, here's the thing. It's not that terrible,
no.
Like, in the grand scheme of things, like that he's an undercarder in a big company, and in the tag league he can get some shine. Maybe they can team up with somebody. I've always said this. I think the best thing that could happen to him, maybe not considering where they may be going with these titles, but I think he should link up with Juice and Finley. Like I think they could have a great chemistry together. They can mix and match teams. Maybe you could be in the line for U.S. title shots here and there. But right now, he's just stuck with the Young Lions. And it's so disappointing to me because he was such a strong performer in that tag.
In the grand scheme of things, I think the position that he is in is good. But not if you're a young guy like he is. He wants to move up. He wants to achieve his dreams. And it doesn't look like he can.
Yeah, that's not going to happen in New Japan. Like, they don't put even if he had won, I still would have been skeptical. But, like, the fact that he didn't win already tells me that Fredericks is already surpassing him in their version. And I love Henare. I think he's a great talent, super underrated. But Fredericks is clearly a project of theirs. I'm sure he's got rave reviews from Goto, Shibata, and all these guys. He looks like a star. He won the Young Lion Cup. And, he's somebody that you're going to have to look out for sooner rather than later.
They put a high emphasis on telling that Carl Fredericks was in the first match of the new decade, while Katsushika Okada was in the first match of the last decade.
That's, how about that, huh? A little bit of perhaps foreshadowing there. But I think Fredericks is going to be a main eventer in New Japan. I don't think it's going to take too long either.
No.
Like, he's got all the potential in the world. He honestly, he's what I wanted Jay White to be when he was a young lion. Like, he could be that guy, when he comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can see where it comes from there. So this guy definitely will be on the upswing in 2020. The junior heavyweight tag team division in 2020 looks more like the same, like it did in 2019. We had a four-way match, and it's always funny how I watched the English commentary today. They pointed out how unusual a four-way match is in the junior heavyweight tag team division. But I feel like for a couple of years, every match in the junior division was a four-way match.
Or in the junior tag division. That's a good fact why I don't listen to English commentary.
Match was quite all right. Nothing outstanding. Yeah. El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru picked up the win. Again, the new champions immediately lost after their title win the day earlier. It's this division, I don't know. There's just nothing that matters in this division. So they again get a title shot now, Desperado and Kanemaru. The other teams, of course, Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi, and Taiji Ishimura and El Fantasmo. And it was so weird to see Ryo Lee in the ceremony for Liger, and then he didn't have any role on this show.
Yeah, that is weird. I don't know.
When I saw him out for Liger's retirement, I expected him to be in some sort of, I don't know, post-match angle with this match or with, I don't know, Osprey, Eagles, whoever. But nothing.
No, nothing. I guess he's on the back burner already. the state of the junior division, in New Japan, nothing really matters, I would say. But, here's what I got to say.
Yeah.
These are the titles that need to be thrown in the trash. These are the titles, I would say. These things don't mean anything. And who could possibly care about Despi and Kanemaru challenging RPG 3K again. Like, yeah, we've seen this match a million times.
Nobody cares. The one hope I have, and that's probably just my hope and nothing that will come to play, is that El Desperado gets more of a shot in the singles division in 2020, because with Hiromu Takahashi as the champion now, he needs fresh challengers, he needs rivalries, and he needs someone like El Desperado to have a great match with him.
I'm more worried about Sho. Like, this is somebody that had a huge upside last year, I thought. Was
talk about backburner.
Yeah, exactly. Like, his feud with Shingo was like the top thing going into the tournament, and it's like ever since their match, it's like he's really been...
Seemed like one and done.
Exactly. Like, that's the end of the line for him. And it's unfortunate, because I think he's, of these guys, like, anybody in this match, maybe, like, Ishimori might be the best worker, but he's so short that it's going to be it'll be hard to move him up. And Hiromu, obviously, is, like, the top guy. But besides Hiromu, like, Sho, I think, has the most upside of any of these guys. And maybe they just see him as another guy, like, with Bushi and Desperado and Kanemaru, like, and Phantasmo, like I said. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't like the titles, and I don't like the booking of the titles either. And I don't expect anything different throughout the year. I think by the time we go a year down the line, we're going to have another match just like this, and it'll probably be with these four teams that are in there.
Yeah. So, that's the match. Yeah. Third match on this card, Kota Ibushi, Roshi Tanahashi, Juice Robinson, and David Finlay beat the Bullet Club team of Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Chase Owens when Ibushi pinned Owens with the Kame Goye, getting revenge on Chase Owens turning against him 1 or 2 years ago. And this whole match was set up, and people looked at, of course, G.O.D. maybe re-challenging Juice Robinson and David Finlay, but no! Kota Ibushi and Hiroshi Tanahashi forming the Golden
Aces.
This was
my favorite part of
the show. And David Finlay.
Right now,
that?
To see Kota Ibushi and Tanahashi challenge for the tag titles.
Loved it.
Sold. Like, this is what I wanted. Like, you know, have two top guys who aren't doing anything go for the tag titles. This is what we wanted, Stryker.
Yep.
Like, they're doing it, finally.
Yep. Yep. But they're doing that. And, you know, there's a question that we have from Jamesy about this entire thing. Jamesy, first of all, hi Jamesy, happy new year to you.
Yeah, big fan of yours.
He said, thoughts on a possible new emphasis on the tag division with Tana Ibushi challenging and likely winning? They could run a more prestigious tag league now in the summer with a G1 moved forward to October. And that's what I said yesterday, Dylan.
Yeah.
And I thought about this a little bit more now. So they didn't announce anything past the big Osaka Joe Hall show in June until October, late October, with the G1 finals. So they could do a World Tag League in July and early August, replacing the G1 final weekend with the Tag League final then, in like would be around August 10 or something like that. And they could have all the stars participating in this tag league with this setup here, with Tanahashi and Ibushi challenging. They could use all the stars in this tag league and could already start some stories for the then upcoming G1 climax. Would then have some weeks off until early September, when the Road to Destruction usually starts, and could then run some G1 prelude cards before the G1 climax then starts around, I guess, mid-September, something like that.
It'd be September or October.
Yeah.
And look, I got to give you credit. That was your idea yesterday. I think Gato may have been listening to that. he set up this tag challenge.
I have him on speed dial, you know.
That's good. Tell him I said hi. Next time you call. Now, on the other hand, though, there is a negative side to this, and that is Finn Juice probably losing the titles right away, which is exactly what I
remember.
Didn't watch.
What I said?
Yeah.
at least it's not G.O.D.
Yeah. You said 3 months would be a huge victory for these titles, and it will not get to 3 months, unfortunately.
I love it.
Because neither of these two are pinning either of these other two. So the best we can hope for is some kind of run-in and double DQ for Finn Juice. But to be honest, if you're going to... I hate to say this because I love Finn, especially Finlay as a wrestler. I think is like super underrated and an awesome worker. Juice, great personality, so underrated and always losing his big matches. Everyone tells me it's now is his time, and it's never his time. And now they get sacrificed. But I also think that you have to think the big picture. Elevating the tag titles could have benefits for, like, long, you know, years in the future if they do this right. If they have Ibushi and Tanahashi win the tag titles, have a great run with them throughout the year, and then do the tag league, like you said, like, that could really help these titles for real. Like, that's the first time in many, many years that that would happen for the tag titles. So,
yeah.
I'm all for it. I hope they win. As much as I hate it for Juice and Finley, but I hope that Ibushi and Tanahashi win and have a great run with these titles.
Yes. This was a great moment on this show. But, Dylan, the best match of the show followed here with Evil and Shingo Takagi defeating Hiroki Goto and Tomohiro Ishii in a match that laid down the perspective of the Never Openweight title for 2020. Shingo Takagi, in the middle of the match, pointing towards his hips and telling, hey, I'm going for the title. Hiroki Goto and him having great interactions. I called Shingo Takagi Hiroki Goto's brother from another mother because they are so similar in their New Japan in-ring style. Yep. Tomohiro Ishii and Evil had some great stuff too in this match. And, you know, Dylan, if you're Evil right now, you got to think, how did this all happen that all of a sudden now I'm number 4 in Los Ingobernables de Japón?
Years of booking that made it this way. It was a performance, I would say. Although, to be honest, in this match, he was, like, to me, he was clearly like the fourth wheel of these other.
He was, but that displays his booking too.
Well, yeah, and like I said, and he's a talented guy. I'm a fan of his. If these four are the Never Division, I'm sold. Like, for 2020, like, this is all I wanted. Like, this is my these are my guys right here, Stringer. But in terms of Evil, yeah, like, it's kind of crazy how, you know, Sonata jumped so far ahead of him so much. But to me, it was kind of, you could tell this was coming with the way 2019 went. Sonata is who they see more in, unfortunately.
And now Evil is working to get Shingo Takagi more over, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now Shingo is kind of like the... It's hard.
Evil,
like,
Evil is basically in the same role that Masaki Tamiya is in Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yeah, that's a great comparison, actually. That's like the perfect comparison. Although Shingo's much older than Inamura, sure. So this makes less logical sense, this team. But that's honestly, I think if they keep putting them together, that's a really bad thing for Evil because he's not going to be able to stand out with these other three guys. Like, he's always going to be the fourth best person. If these four are the guys, it's just impossible for it not to be that way. I've said it for a long time. It's time to drop the Evil gimmick and get to something new. Hasn't worked for him, ultimately. Like, he had a little bit of a run a couple years ago, but that was it.
You know?
Like,
Everybody was expecting Zanada to turn on Naito, but it would have been a great swerve if they had Evil turning on Naito to set up his 2020.
I totally agree. Yeah, totally agree. And I think that would be, and he needs it more. Like, Sonata's, like, they already push him well, like, where he's at. Evil needs a fresh coat.
Zanada doesn't need that. He has his position. He's very popular with fans. He's all good.
Yeah. And I never thought this gimmick would. I've always thought it held him back as a performer. And I think it's time we need to drop this already. You know, like, it is what it is. He looks like a comedy geek when he comes out with the side. Wrestling wise, I thought his match with Ishii last year was so underrated. Like, that was like a forgotten great match where they did all the Choshu stuff.
And they did this year again with the Sasori Gatami.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I think that's such an underrated pairing, like, great chemistry. Similar to Goto and Shingo, like, great chemistry. But Evil doesn't get talked about, unfortunately. I think it's a shame because he should have a role right now, but it really feels like, really for the last 3 years, it's like every time something comes up, Evil's the odd man out, pretty much, unfortunately. And I think that's where we're headed again. I don't expect anything different in 2020, but I do think that would be the best thing for him if he dropped this game.
We'll probably get a Never title run, which would then, now, make him the second biggest champion in New Japan.
No, I don't think he's going to win the title. Like, I think Shingo will get it before he does.
That is definitely what I'm expecting, too. But, you know, it's a Never title. Doesn't really matter.
That's true. Yeah, they could switch this title 5 times this year.
Why not?
Yeah, great point on your part. I got to give it up to you there, because at first I was thinking, like, no, like, they should...
it's the NEVER title.
Yeah, pass it to Shingo, but then you're like, yeah. But the thing is, the NEVER title is the number two title now, without the IC title. Like, so it's going to have to be pushed hard.
Sure, yeah, we'll see about that. But as you said, if these four guys are the centerpiece of the division, that is going to be great for 2020. Next up, we had Katsuyuki Okada, Yoshihashi, Will Ospreay, and Robbie Eagles defeating Minoru Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr., Lance Archer, and Taichi by DQ when Taichi attacked Okada with the Iron Finger from Hell. Taichi is Okada's yearly redemption story, Dylan.
Great. Just wonderful. Actually, I have to say, I didn't think Sonata was going to turn in the show, but I thought they would do something with this. Like, I thought Suzuki-gun would... Suzuki, like, that's what I was expecting. Everybody said
I've been expecting that for 2 years now.
Well, I thought I really expected it after he came out last night against Moxley. Mm. Like, honestly, pretty much. But no,
once again, Chaos proved to be an absolute useless unit because Taichi kept attacking Okada, and who had to come out and make the save? John Moxley.
That's just stupid. Listen, I don't understand.
All the time. Chaos is useless.
I know. Like, this faction sucks. They need to break them up and reshuffle. But no, they're just going to keep up with the status quo. And I don't know, Taichi and Okada in a match? Like
I
you
can't
said,
imagine we, that, but I don't know. You know, I'm happy that it's not Taichi and Naito again, so that's a positive.
That's true. That would have been a lot worse. I will give them that. But can't they do something different with Okada? It's like every year we do the same bullcrap. Like, hey, he loses the title.
Yeah, why don't Yoshihashi and him announce, hey, we're challenging for the tag titles too?
Oh, I've been begging for that for like 5 years.
Yeah, I know.
like ride the lightning. back. But they don't even team anymore in the tag leagues, unfortunately, no. So they wouldn't even do that. Now, Okada would have to team up with, like, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
You know, with the tag league probably moving, they could have an open slot for Ride the Lightning again. Because Okada only wasn't in the tag league because he was already in the main title picture.
True. And I hope so. I really like their tag team, actually, when they were together. They were a good team. They might pair him with Ospreay, too, like, because kind of similar. Yeah, but we'll see how it goes. Okada versus Taichi is the match coming up next. And obviously, Moxley and Suzuki. That should be a really fun match. They're going to go wild. I think it's a good chance for real life, like not necessarily in storyline, but just redemption for Moxley after his matches kind of didn't, they didn't blow the house off, or blow the roof off the dome when they came out.
Really intense how they squared off in the ring, and I think that's something that they both really want. And on that topic, I have a question from our good listener, Kyle. Hi, Kyle. His question is, how long do you guys think Moxley will remain as champion? I ask because I have no idea what kind of deal he and New Japan have. What's your take on that?
Oh, I think that he has a special deal with AEW that allows for New Japan. Jericho has a very similar one. For whatever reason, Moxley, probably because Jericho is more important than AEW right now, you know, with being the champion, just on paper. Because they're actually both pushed to a pretty similar level. They're going to have a match for the title. So they're not really one more important than the other, just he's the champion, so he's more important. But Moxley seems to want to work Japan a lot more than Jericho these days. He seemed to have something to prove. If you listen to his interview, you know that he's a big fan of all kinds of wrestling and stuff like that. So I'm sure this means something to him. I think he's had a lot of fun in New Japan lately. I think this match with Suzuki will be good. I don't expect him to lose, to be honest. I think they're going to need somebody to carry this U.S. title in 2020, pretty much.
You know, the thing is, the New Beginning U.S. tour is from January 24 until February 1, and there is no big show or tour before that. There is parts of the New Beginning tour, I believe, that are starting right around that same time, so there is no real time to do Minoru Suzuki versus John Moxley before that, because otherwise my idea would have been switch the US title to Minoru Suzuki, because Minoru Suzuki at least can work the US shows for New Japan.
Yeah, that's true. Like, they need somebody to work this title, and Moxley, you know, AEW has the rights on him right now in US, so Suzuki, do you think, because I think that they might think like this, but I don't think it's true. Like, I think that they think they need a foreigner to hold the U.S. title to draw on those shows.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they need that, because especially I said about Minoru Suzuki yesterday on our show is I would love to see him become more of a journeyman wrestler. And like him being in the U.S. for 3 or 4 months, he could defend the U.S. title there against all comers. They could have that on social media, promote that very well, and that should benefit for New Japan of the USA.
I totally agree. I think that would be a great idea. I just think that they need a foreigner. Yeah. But like to me, I completely agree with you. I think there's no reason New Japan fans in America wouldn't react to a Japanese wrestler as U.S. champion, just as big as any other wrestler, I feel like. So I think that they should not – I hope that they don't – you know, they don't attach themselves too much to the idea that an American has to hold the U.S. title or a white guy has to hold the U.S. title.
That would be the one title, except for the junior heavyweight title, where they have clear restrictions for the belt.
Yeah, that is true. I'm for that. But I think from a business perspective, you don't need that. They could just say, look, this title is only defended in America from now on, if they wanted. But I'm a fan of giving titles purpose, if anything. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, they have to get the title off Moxley eventually if they want to run these U.S. tours, I would say.
Main event of the show, Tetsu Naito and Sanada defeated Kenta and Jay White when Sanada pinned White with, they call it the O'Connor Bridge, otherwise it's known as the Japanese leg roll clutch hold. White looked surprised after the finish because he was very optimistic that he would take the win. But Dylan, the question is, what would have happened if he had taken the win? Because on the entrance, on the English commentary, they asked Jay White why he wasn't challenging the champion after he beat Ibushi yesterday. And he was just saying, didn't you think I expected or knew about Kenta coming out? And that is just such a lazy way of going around and explaining that this doesn't make any sense. It's just so lazy.
It's all a plan, a master plan.
Exactly.
It's a trigger. What I said. I love that. Don't you think I knew about that? Yeah.
That's all they said about this, yeah.
Well, you know, he knew about it. That's all. He's okay with it. He doesn't really need the title. He's like, man, I already won this thing. I don't need it right now. You go for it. I don't want to wrestle in these main event matches.
I didn't want to win through a double gold dash in first place. Come on.
Yeah, I didn't even want that. Who cares about the titles? They actually did a very similar thing before. Remember when Prince Devitt was in the G1? He was like, I don't care about wins and losses and all that. Okay. That really got over too. But, you know, Kenta and Jay, the match was what it was.
It was
The idea of the idea of a Sonata and Jay feud is like a personal troll on me. I feel like.
Dude, that is finally going to put wrestling Twitter to its end.
See, I think a lot of people like Jay, though, on wrestling Twitter. I think he's a...
There is a lot of people that like Jay, there is a lot of people that like Sonata, and there are tons of people who hate both.
A warring factions right now. But also, some people who like Jay might not be the same people that like Sonata.
Exactly.
So it's a
multifactional war.
Yeah, and then there's people like me who don't want to watch that match.
You're the Switzerland of that war.
Yes, and dark Switzerland, not the neutral one. It's like, I actively dislike this, but I'll watch it anyway.
Shadow Realm Switzerland.
That's right. But, you know, I think the good thing is, say what you want, I think in this scenario on New Year Dash, Kenta and White got a ton of heat after the main event. We'll see if that translates to anything in reality, because Jay White's main events last year didn't exactly light the world on fire from a business perspective.
You know?
But now we've got Kenta.
For what it's worth, I got to say that Kenta would not have been over to the degree that he was as a heel today if they hadn't done the angle yesterday after the main event. So that's one pro of doing that angle after the main event. But still, the con goes, as you said yesterday, they ruined the big coronation for Tetsu Naito. So there's definitely pro and cons, and they chose to go this way to put over Kenta as a legitimate heel. People really dislike him now.
Yeah, and I understand the thinking behind that.
Yes.
I don't think you can question that at all, because like you said, it totally worked. I just think no matter how many pros there were, like that was the wrong decision.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. For the grand scheme of things, it's the wrong thing. But he did, you know, Kenta's there. And Kenta's a great promo for the Japanese fans as well, too. Mm-hmm. Like, they really hate him as well. And ever since he turned heel, he really has stepped up his game as a character.
Totally.
Wrestling-wise, up and down, but he's done positive things in his singles matches with Ishii and Goto. Naito's an interesting person for him in terms of how the match will go, because Naito...
Both are limited.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Naito's not Ishii and Goto. Mm.
But Kenta has adjusted to his injuries, and he's wrestling a very smart style, so that could be a very positive for Tetsu Naito as well.
Yeah, we just have to see what they... It could be a negative for the viewers, though, because Naito's character is that he doesn't really care that much for most of the
time.
Yeah,
but Kenta's character is that he cares, and that is part of his backstage promo that he had, too. And that is why I think this character is so great now, because I always like heels that have a purpose and that have a reason for them to be this bad guy. And Kenta is one of such, because afterwards he said that he put his professional wrestling career, his entire legacy, and his friends on the line to become this, to come to New Japan. So he put all this away just for the success of coming to New Japan. And that is a very good explanation of why he is the Kenta that he is now.
Yeah, that's actually like a lot better than someone like Jay. In his
human... Absolutely. That's what I was saying yesterday.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like you give this guy a... And this is... Not only that, never mind that, because there's nothing... In reality, everyone knows Jay White is not like this character. Like, it's just a character. Like, and that's not the real person. But Kenta, this is a real story that he has here. Like, he put it all on the line to come to New Japan, pretty much, in real life. And now he's twisted it into the storyline way of becoming this Bullet Club heel on top of it. So it's like you took this real-life motivation and turned it into something that's a much different version than the real life version, and it's turned out in really great fashion for both him and the fans. And I think that that title match is going to be so heated. Like, no matter what they do, fans are going to go nuts for it. And like you said, there's definitely positives for the angle last night when it comes to getting him over. And I just think the work between them, the character work between them, is going to get things to that next level that they have here. So it should be, if nothing else, I don't know how the match is going to go. It could be great. It could be, you know, something I'm not really into, especially if there's a lot of, like, if Jay runs out and Gato runs out and all these other people. If there's something like that, I don't really want to see it. But Kenta, in his other matches, has been much more straightforward for the most part. So I think that it could be a really good match, and the crowd is going to go nuts for it.
Yeah, definitely. So looking ahead to the...
One more thing. Okay. What do you think about Sonata getting the win in this match over Jay? Do you think that he'll beat Jay in the other match? Or do you think Jay's...
That is interesting, because now Sonata beat the guy that beat Kota Ibushi yesterday, and you would think that those two now would have a match for the number one contendership. And I can see that being a match for the future, for the next months, and I believe that Jay White will be the next challenger after Kenta.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot more sense. Plus, the problem is with New Japan Cup coming up, though.
Sure.
Like that, so it depends on, like, they're going to have to flip that around somehow, pretty much. Like, whoever wins this match will not win the New Japan Cup, pretty much. So it depends on how that goes. But I think you could honestly go either way with it. I think it's pretty interesting. But I tend to lean more towards your side, that Jay will get the win. But New Japan Cup throws a wrench into it, because then... I think that, like I just said, whoever wins shouldn't win the cup.
Yeah. So, looking ahead to the future, that's what I wanted to do with this match too. We have the big doubleheader coming up in early February in Sapporo, February 1st, February 2nd. They need two top matches for that. I can see Moxley and Minoru Suzuki being one of those matches.
Yep.
And I don't think they will do the IWGP Heavyweight title match here, do you?
No, I think it'll be the never in the US title.
Yeah.
Probably.
Because let me see what they have coming up after that. Yeah, they have they have the doubleheader early February, and the week after they have their Osaka Joho, the first of the two shows that they have, so they will do Naito and Kenta in Osaka.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, yeah.
And then, as you said, there is the New Japan Cup. The New Japan Cup winner will then challenge Tetsuya Naito or Kenta for the double championship at Sakura Genesis. And I can see that being Jay White.
Yeah, I think so too. I think White's going to win. That's why I think Sonata could win their singles match and she could win the cup. Like, yeah. Again, that kind of gives everybody more of a little bit of a push.
Makes
but
sense.
I also think Sonata could make the finals too, as well. Up again.
There's someone in the mentions that also brought up an interesting idea of Sonata getting the title shot at Sakura Genesis, because the April show was the one that he debuted on and helped Tetsuya Naito become the heavyweight champion in the first place. That would be an interesting thing to do as well.
That would be a great story. Like, you know, it just continues his push up the card. I don't think that's impossible either. I'm not 100% sold on Jay. He would have to be the favorite to me. But I think if Jay wins their singles match, Sonata would be who I would think would win the cup. But I think it's going to come down to one of these two.
Expecting that we get cards very soon, maybe on the day after this show drops. So that's our main speculation, I guess. Is there anything you want to add on this?
Like I said, only thing is, like I said, just keep your expectations in check next year for New Year Dash. Whatever they do, there probably won't be any big angles or anything like that, but the show was good for what it was. I thought the tag match was awesome, the Ishii, Goto, and Evil and Shingo match. That was the one you really want to check out. I'd recommend that. Even if you didn't see the show, I'd go back and watch that match. Everything else was solid, not special. The Liger retirement was the thing that the show will be remembered for most. And
going back to the Liger retirement, Dylan, what was your opinion on them still not doing streamers for a retirement like that?
Ah, that sucks. Why is that?
Yeah, that's my opinion too. I don't know why they do this.
They did the thing where they toss them up in the air. Like, that's kind of their tradition. Like, they did that with
Hikaru Inoue. To be honest, I thought the visual of Ota Watt, it's not the prettiest venue, to be honest. And the visual of just Liger standing in the middle of the ring, the 10 count going, and then nothing happened. They didn't even do confetti or anything like that. They just had him standing there. So I don't know.
With all due respect, like, Tequila Saya shouldn't get a better retirement than Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yeah, and you know, now I know what I wanted from New Japan to do in the Tokyo Dome. A Yoshi-style retirement match for Jushin Thunder Liger, where he wrestles all of the guys that he had great matches with in his career, like Naoki Sano again, Ultimo Dragon, Great Sasuke, all these guys, like for 1 or 2 minutes. That would have been the retirement match.
Yeah, that's not really as prevalent in wrestling.
I don't care.
Still, it would have been fun. Yeah. That would have been awesome if they did that. Someone like me, I would love that.
Yeah.
But it would have been a lot better than that damn tag match. That's for sure, that they had, that was just, yeah. But yeah, you know, the retirement was what it was. Like, they did their best with it. The video was the main thing, but I completely agree with you. Bring the streamers back, New Japan. Stop being so freaking...
They don't have to use that on every show like other companies do.
Just
for these special occasions like a retirement, they should just unban them.
I wish they would do that. Like I said, I guess, to me, if they're not even going to do it for this, then who do you do it for? You know, pretty much. Yeah. But it's such a good visual. Like, they used to do it. Like, Tanahashi got streamers at times before. Like, what happened? You know? And why'd they change? Like, Bushiroad?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, from my side, that would be all. There is Fantastica Mania coming up, beginning on January 10, and we still don't have any cards at this point. New Beginning starting January 24, New Beginning USA starting January 25, Sapporo, as I said, early February. So enjoy these couple of weeks off from New Japan. They will be starting soon again.
That's right. You know, and I hope Fantastica Mania goes well. I know that's a lot of fun for all the Mexican wrestlers that get to come there.
Yep.
You get some fun stuff there. Maybe they'll have a title match or a big tag team match or something like that. I don't know how much New Japan involvement there will actually be on that tour. You know, maybe you'll have a group or something like that, similar to when, like, LIJ would wrestle.
Yeah. Like, nobody Okada else is usually on shows.
Yeah, I don't think he was on last year, and he should be. He's a Lucha. I love Lucha Okada whenever he breaks stuff. He used to do it a lot more, but I think that's really cool. And the New Beginning Tour will be interesting, to say the least. They got a lot of things planned out there, and they set him up here on New Year Dash. So it is what it is. The only thing I could say more than anything about New Japan, keep your eyes peeled on the Eastern Lariat, because we got some good shows up this month. Some big stuff coming, big plans.
Big plans. So from the both of us, this was our triple header for Wrestle Kingdom New Year Dash. Once again, please give us a follow at Eastern Lariat on Twitter. But for now, this has been it. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.